Linux Out Loud is firing up our mics, connecting those headphones as we search the community for themes to expound upon. We keep the banter friendly, the conversation somewhat on topic, and we have fun doing it. This week, we are spouting off about any of the topics we have that Matt could care less about. So let's get into episode 84. Well, Wendy, I guess since Matt's away, the cats are going to play. Is that how it goes? Is Matt the cat?
Something like that. The cat's away, so the mice will play. I don't know.
The dog's away and the cat's
play. I don't know that Matt would be much of a cat person. He would definitely be more of a dog person if he had a pet. And at the same time, like, I can't have houseplants because while I can keep children alive, I can't keep plants alive. I don't know that Matt would be like the best pet parent either. He works a little bit too much.
Yeah, he does. I wonder if he knows what the inside of his house looks like right now.
You know, I honestly don't know. I'm a little bit worried about him and all the extra hours he ends up putting in. I don't know how many times I've told him. I'm like, dude, you should find a new job. But he still works there. So
I think he likes the self-abuse, like just like
glutton for punishment.
The lashings. Yeah. He likes the lashings that he gets. Poor Matt.
Definitely.
I like it when he's here, but what can you do?
It is. It's definitely more fun when he's here. We definitely had that sentiment last episode when he was gone too. And I have to apologize. You guys got the episode a week late. We ended up being so busy getting ready for Idaho State. That I just didn't have time to sit down and edit. The upside of that was, though, you got actual footage from the tournament in the last episode. That was a bonus, right? That was the yay for not getting it out. So if you haven't watched the video version of the show, definitely check it out. There's some fun stuff in there. And I did share video clips of the kids' robot running at State.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It actually was also nice to see, I didn't say this earlier, but when you actually showed how the different games work and how the different robots function in there, because I listened to the episode, but I thought I'd watch it after the fact, and you actually put in some really great clips in there, so I'm sorry I didn't watch it sooner, but it was really great to see how the different robots function, and also, I think the hang thing that they do, did you put it in the video last one? Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. It's kind of got that, when they it was like slamming the basketball through the hoop and the player hangs on the hoop. It kind of has that vibe to it, but in a
it's just the robot version.
Robotic way. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of fun. So speaking of robots, the Utah qualifiers.
We actually got to participate in a Utah tournament this past weekend, and it kind of came up last minute. We were going to go and then we weren't going to go, and we weren't going to go for quite a long time. And some of the Tesla coils who at Idaho State did sweep it. So they got the top judged award and they were captain of the winning alliance. So they are without a doubt headed to Texas again this year. So congratulations, Tesla coils.
Sweet.
Very good for them.
Awesome.
But they really wanted some of the kids to go. And so we worked things around last minute, got into the Utah qualifiers. And it was a good lesson for the beast mode kids because A, they hadn't worked on their speeches between State and the Utah qualifiers. They had updated their engineering portfolio some, which was really good, but they just hadn't been working on their speeches. They hadn't been throwing through their questions. And overall, their presentation fell pretty flat. And then on Wednesday last week, you know, we noticed one of their motors, the motors with the slide, was getting way too hot. And I was like, hey, you know, maybe we should do some digging and check that out. And they were like, we don't want to take apart the robot right now. So I'm like, okay. So we get to the qualifiers in Utah. It was supposed to be like a 3.5 hour drive, but we got 45 minutes into the drive and I found out that they had left their drive hub at the build room. So we had to go back to the build room, pick up the drive hub. So it turned a 3.5 hour drive into a 5 hour drive. Yay. But, you know, we successfully
I'm sure you were just grinning from ear to ear as you're driving back.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so tickled. And the thing is, what caught it was I was like, hey guys, you know, you really should practice your speeches. And one of them said something and I'm like, oh dang it. We left all of the stuff that you'd CADed and 3D printed back at the build room in that white box. And my daughter's face goes white. She's like, oh, our driver hub's in there too. So it's like, holy crap. But I mean, at least we were only 45 minutes out instead of finally where we were going right to. It was a little ways out of Salt Lake City is where we were headed. So we did get that picked up. Saturday, they were running some testing and they realized that that motor was still getting way too hot and they were trying to hang and their batteries were dropping way down low and it just didn't have enough power to pull. And I was like, hey, you know, maybe we should have checked out this motor Wednesday. There was another team there, the Masters. They were also at the Idaho qualifier or the Idaho State, even though they were a Utah team, and they had a motor that we could borrow. So my son, since he's the one who put that arm together, he swapped out the motor, did a really good job. It lets me know how well he knows his robot because he did that motor change so fast, so incredibly fast. And I was like, hey, go test it. You want to make sure that maybe it was just a bad motor or maybe there's something going on in the code that's an issue. So they tested it and that motor was still getting way too hot. So they had to take out the PID for their slide. So for the main arm up and down, and I'll throw some video in here again for those of you who haven't seen it, because it's hard to describe. Like if you see what I'm talking about on the robot, then it makes sense. So their up and down motion was fine. That PID was fine. That motor was great. It was the slides that come in and out were the issue. So they could still use the slides, but they couldn't have that PID. So the motor wasn't holding position where they wanted to, and it eliminated their hang for this competition because they didn't go through. I know they could have went through, they could have worked that out. They could have had time to switch out the motor because it had burned it out. And my daughter was feeling really, really bad that she had killed a motor. And the coder for Tesla Coils was like, welcome to the club. I've done it too.
So you know, it's like a rite of
kind
passage.
Of one of those. Yes.
Yeah,
one of those,
you have to burn out a motor.
Passage.
To, yeah.
Not that you want to burn out a bunch of motors, but it's kind of one of those things that potentially happens as you're learning to code and you're potentially giving something way too much power at the time as it's holding. So they now, because they went to a Utah qualifier, they can participate in Utah State. That's coming up March 16th. And I'm working out the details whether we're actually going or not. I know some of the kids are wanting to participate in that. And I was like, okay, here's the deal. Like there's no phoning it in. I'm not driving back to Utah if you guys aren't going to work on your speeches and if you're not going to improve the robot. Now this, it doesn't mean that we're going to completely dismantle the robot and start all over again. Like one of the team members suggested, I'm like, no, you have 3 weeks. This is improvement time, not complete redo right. time. So
going to, there's a design freeze. Now you have to do some iterations.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. He was wanting to change the whole motion of the arm because right now it's kind of limited on the top side of it. And he wanted it to rotate all the way back. And so that would mean some major overhaul of that mechanic itself. So I was like, let's just make improvements and not big jumps in the robot. So we'll see what they're like on Thursday. If they look like they're gung-ho and ready to go, then I will find us housing and all of that stuff, get that taken care of. But if they're not really excited and gung-ho, then I'm not driving another 3.5 hours to have it phone in. That seems to be another life lesson. We learned that, holy crap, we don't walk away with an award if we don't work on improvements. And the other life lesson is going to be, you know, if we're not showing that we're interested and still putting in the work when our mentors are here, they're not going to be excited to take the weekend to go down for us. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see what Thursday looks like. But potentially, I could be in Utah again in March.
Well, I hope it goes smashingly well and that they do all kinds of fantastic, wonderful things because, you know, I know you're putting a lot of time and effort into this. And
right.
it would just be kind of unfortunate if they weren't like, you know,
yeah,
all excited.
Yeah. And it's a 3-person team at this point. So that does mean that there's a lot more work on individual person two of the kids are moving up to the Tesla coils next year, and one of them needs one more year. We like the kids to be at that 14-year-old range to actually join an FTC team. You can be 12 to join, but especially with as amount of time that the coils are on the road, they really require the kids to be a little bit more independent and a little bit more mature to handle all of that travel time with a group of other kids. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, and we'll see. And I hopefully can get the motor thing worked out, because you can't not hang. I mean, that was just such a cool thing to see.
Right. Well, and that's 20 points in and of itself. Like, there was multiple matches that they could have won in Utah if their hang was working. That was the difference between winning and losing for them on multiple matches, which was a bummer. But like I said, it's a learning experience. Now they know, hey, if there's an issue that comes up on Wednesday of that week, why don't we work it out then instead of going, oh crap, our robot doesn't work at competition. And things still break at competition. Mm-hmm. Sure. The Tesla coils last year were using a string to pull their slides instead of a belt, and their string broke at competition. Yeah, and restringing those suckers can be a royal pain in the butt. Now they only use belts, and they're still reinforced. So we actually destroyed one of the belts too.
Nice.
I know,
it's
right?
It's also an accomplishment.
Exactly. So you can actually see that in the metal in them, but it makes them stronger. It makes them harder to break, and they can just move more over time as you're putting a lot of wear and tear on them. But I'm pretty excited. I think it's a fantastic learning experience. Most likely we're headed to Utah in March, but I just want to let them know it's up to them. It's up to them whether we actually go or not.
Well, I mean, hopefully they want to, and they put the time and effort into it. It'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of time and effort, you have all kinds of tools hanging around your house, and you've got a way to organize them better.
Yes. You know, I should have grabbed it sooner. It's actually right here. One moment.
Oh, perfect.
A few more missing out of here because they're in the house.
Okay.
So this is helping a kid set up a computer. I'm actually installing Ubuntu for him, Ubuntu proper. He hasn't had a computer. He had a Chromebook, but it broke. And so he just uses like Googly stuff. And so, you know, anyway, some machines I'm retiring from work. And anyway, so this is a thing I 3D printed. Well, it's a design that already existed, this frame here. And but this bottom portion here to kind of catch the thing did not. So when I'd put something in here, they just kind of fall and kind of hang out. It didn't work well with my particular sets of drivers and whatnot. So the original design intent by the person, the screwdrivers were shorter, didn't touch the bottom, and so they just kind of hung from the top. But I don't have anything like that. So I modified this, created a little part here to insert. So I just, you know, took it apart, put that inside there, with a little catch there, nothing complex. And now I have like a lot of these little screwdrivers here that have different, you know, functions. You know, these are cross recess or Phillips, as most people call it. And then your the straight blade, the flat. And then I have others that have like the trilobular kind that you use for cracking open Nintendo cartridges and things of that nature. And then some other screwdrivers as well, some larger ones that also fit in here. Anyway, and so it was really nice to be able to take an existing design, print off, you know, I could have actually just redid the whole thing, but you know, I already printed off these things. I don't want to, you know, waste it.
Right. Yeah.
So just print off a little insert that pops in there nice and tight. And then it kind of fits. I can throw in whatever I want. So this right here, this is like my Macintosh open upper. So Macintosh classic. So it's what I use for that. I only have one, but I needed the driver to do it. So anyway, I just published it on Thingiverse and Prusa or Printables, whatever. And so if someone else wants to use it, they think that this is a great way to store their little screwdrivers, you know, cool, go for it. But I love the whole Gridfinity thing because it allows everything to be nicely organized on my workbench, and I can move these things around as I need it, you know, rearrange it. So I have everything from like I guess here's another example. So like, whoops, it's not broken. But little things like little trays to put like my different,
right.
You know, different tools, and it's all nice little
keep
neatly.
Things organized.
Yeah, and it's nice. Yeah. So also I have little trays then too for, you know, when I take something apart, I put the screws in there, then I can stack them up, and then when I put things back together, I go back to that stack. Maybe that's not as good as someone having a case that you close, but this works well for me.
I don't know about the case that you can close, because I've got a couple of iFixit kits, and then the kids get into my iFixit kits and they scramble all of the heads for my screwdrivers, and then I can't find stuff. I had spent like a whole weekend reorganizing them, re-putting them back where they were supposed to be so I could find the parts that I wanted. And then my son used it, and then it got dumped on the floor. So it is no longer in any kind of order right now. And at this point, just having a central place that you could quickly grab them, get a hold of them, would absolutely be nice. I know we talked about Onshape before, so a little update on that is I do now have the education license for it, since I am a mentor of a FIRST Robotics team. I've got to figure out how to get the kids added to my classroom so they can share stuff. My two kids have now student Onshape accounts, so they can jump right into it, start building things, start using some of those resources that they have in order to learn how to use CAD. Especially for next year, the main kid who's been doing the CADing for the Tesla Coils team, he's a senior this year. So while he has spent a little bit of time helping them, you were amazing when you talked to the team this year. They actually have you in their engineering portfolio, by the way, and that conversation that they had with you. But, you know, just spending the summer, spending some time on that, playing with it, trying to figure out how to get things built the way they want. We can print stuff at home. And then come robotics season next year, they can just be ready to jump in and start building parts. One of the really cool things about Onshape, and because they have a relationship with FIRST, which these are our FIRST earrings, just in case you were wondering. But they have a whole section just on building parts for robots, specifically for FTC robots. So that is one of the things that they are going to be hitting really hard. And then they're going to be ready to go. They're going to hit the ground running next year. And it's, we want a part that does this for their robot, and they will have the skills ready to go. So I have to thank you for that, in letting me know about that, and that it's this, even though it's not free, even though it's not open source, it's something that I can run on Linux. The kids can run on their computers, and I'm not worried about having a Windows system specifically set up for them to use CAD, or for them to get frustrated because the things that they're trying to build and make work for their robot keep breaking and they have to rebuild them.
Something else that's really nice about Onshape too, because you have a classroom situation here where you can actually share parts. Mm-hmm. So you actually have there's a name for it. I can't remember. But, you know, 20 years ago when doing CAD, just having that ability to check parts in and share parts was a lot more cumbersome and was a lot of work to actually get going and have when working properly. And now this is all like automatic baked in, and it's a lot easier now to do. I mean, you basically have the tools and technology to make cool things without the complexity. Which is
right, and they can work on them together as a team. Hey, I put this together. I'm struggling with this, and work together on the same file. The other thing that's really cool, and I'm not sure if it's available on the free license. I know they did it with Autodesk Inventor in the build room, was you have these final parts that you have done and you have printed or different drafts of them, and you can put them out as 2D drawings with measurements and stuff on them and be like, this is who built it. This is the other team member who marked off on it. And those pieces also go in the engineering portfolio. It helps to help as they're going through that engineering process. These are the things we worked on. This is what that CAD file and the dimensions look like. Even though for their one pixel scoop, like it was right in front of the judges, it's still nice to have those line drawings for them to look at inside their portfolio.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it can do that. I just did not look into it, but I know that does exist. And as part of it, I have not played with it at all. I can't imagine.
I definitely know I've seen it as part of the education. I just didn't know if that was a feature on the free or not.
I'm sure it is at some degree, some level of.
And it seems like one more of those more basic things instead of an enterprise thing.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the documentation process. So it may be considered more, I don't know. But yeah, no, that's cool. That's great. And hopefully that works out well too. And, you know, when I did the little show them a bunch of things, I essentially crammed in like 6 months of different techniques in what, 30 minutes. So like, you know, when I went to college to do this stuff, they broke down each of those things and you did it over and over again. I think using Autodesk Inventor, I think is what I used at the time. And so it was like a long process to get to the point of smart modeling, basically.
Actually making stuff.
And I didn't actually really become good at it until, you know, probably within that first year of working, you know, for my first employer my first design job that I had. So it took a while, but then when it's understood, like once you get the idea of like the relationships and building, like understanding how your part's supposed to interface with other parts, having that concept, then it's a lot easier to model. It's just implementing the design around, you know, the idea. So,
And that's exactly why I recorded it, is because I figured it would be so packed with information that being able to reference it again and go back. Though one thing that really, really stuck for them was, do not do grommets until you're done with the design.
Yeah.
Or not grommets, fillets.
Fillets and chamfers.
They did that on their scoop, rounded off, made it nice, clean edges and reinforced things that way. So they did take that one to heart.
That's good. Yeah. Any of those features, you know, there's actually an order. I think, you know, once your primitive, your basic design, and then you can add in your drafts if necessary. And then the very last thing you do are the chamfers and the rounds. Don't mix those up. There are very rare cases where you might do that, like mix that up, but it's pretty rare. So
pretty rare. Yeah. So they've been pretty good on that. They did run into a few issues with their iteration because he didn't back all of those off before they started making some other tweaks and changes. So then there's things that they couldn't round off nicely the way they wanted to because they weren't all removed first. So then it had things broken into really funny parts. Just learning experiences, right? Figuring out how to do this, how to build things. And that was just a simple part. I mean, it was two planes that came together that attached to the robot so you can scoop pixels in. Like, that's it. And just figuring out, oh yeah, if I don't actually remove all of those and then we go to work and I try to put those back on, that causes problems for me. So I'm excited to see them grow. I'm excited to see what they build with it. I'm excited to learn. I love the fact that those resources are there for me too, because I'm one of those people that is very visual in my learning. I like it when I can see it happen, watch somebody do it and do it right along with them. It's one of the reasons why I wish I could find something like that for Java for FTC. Yeah, I've got a book that's really nice. I might have to share that with you. I found a book that's pretty nice, but it's not the way I learn, and I'm still struggling to pick up some of those concepts. So then it's hard for me to answer questions for my daughter. The coder for the Tesla coils has still been pretty good about answering questions and stuff, but it would be nice to understand it more myself. So as we're testing and doing stuff this year and getting started into next year, she's got just a little bit more background in that.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. And yeah, I think coding is an area where I need a little polish as well. But
right. Well, and that's the thing is, I've now worked in MicroPython, at least the version that we're using on the Spike Prime robots. I don't know that I would be fluent if I just picked up another MicroPython object mechanism. But I'm at least fluent enough in the MicroPython that we're using for the Spike Prime robots that I could be like, oh yeah, I know how to do that. I could just, you know, fix it or tell them how to fix it in this case because it's their robot. But right now I'm like, I'm sorry, sis. I've got no clue. Let's go talk to Gage.
Yeah. It's good to have the resources.
Not afraid to admit when I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. That's the beginning of wisdom. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's go find someone who does.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of finding something, it looks like you have found your way back to Manjaro.
I am back on Manjaro. And the biggest reason that I was on Ubuntu Studio was just trying to get DaVinci to work smoothly. And like, it was working But I was running into some other issues. And I don't know if it was partially because I was using those proprietary drivers for AMD or something. Maybe it's because it was also the LTS, because you needed the LTS and I'm running a newer graphics card. But there were some times where I would boot into, there we go, into Ubuntu Studio, and I would just get this black screen. So control alt F2, sign in that way and reboot it. And sometimes I'd have to do that like two or three different times to actually get the GUI to come up and log in. I was also having issues with render time, where when I was on Garuda before, I could get something rendered out in 15, 20 minutes. And I was looking at the one episode of DL that took almost an hour to render. And I mean, I know overall that it was a little bit of a larger file because that was one of the ones that had guests on it. So that was the one for Scale, the interview with Scale. But I had done interviews on Garuda before with multiple people and didn't have anywhere near the render time. So being back on Garuda, I don't know what it is. It's maybe the newer drivers. I've got no clue. But when I rendered out DL, what was it? Last night, because it was running late. That was my fault. Tournament again. Sorry. We're working on timings. When I rendered out DL last night, it only took 20 minutes. 20 minutes versus an hour time. So that's a big time saving things for me. One thing that I did notice, though, is I cannot use DaVinci Resolve on Wayland. It will not boot on Wayland. Yeah, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's still something to do with those drivers, the fact that they're just not interacting really well with Wayland or something at the moment. But I do have to be on X in order to get DaVinci Resolve to work. And I'm still setting up the system. So I got home, obviously running late again. That's just the story of my life right now. I'm running late. I will work on getting the show out on time, first thing in the morning, if you're in the US on Wednesdays again. That is the goal, to be on time every single week. But, you know, robotics happen.
I think people understand who listen to the show. I don't think any pitchforks and torches at the door banging.
Yeah, most of them know that we're fairly busy around here, that I've been fairly busy. And I have had a comment like, hey, I'm looking for the show. And I'm like, it's about out. It's coming out here. I'm working on it now. That kind of thing. I wouldn't say that the video show takes any longer. It actually is taking me less time than I was doing the audio only show, but I'm not cutting as much. Like I was probably cutting maybe too much on the audio show. So I cut less, but I do add the visuals in and those layers on top of it, which make it nice. I mean, if you're doing a video show,
you might as well
use that in order to add the visuals. I can't speak today. Maybe we shouldn't have done the show today. I don't know. I keep getting tongue-tied.
Right. It'll work itself out in the end.
Yeah, it'll work itself out.
I think you're probably making us sound too good with the audio only, you know? Making us taking out the extra ums and whatevers. You know, when I trip over my words, which happens probably more often than not, or throw in an extra crutch word. Yeah. This is a little more raw, a little more real.
A little more natural.
A little more something organic, I guess.
Right. So we'll go yes, definitely. And there is definitely something to be said about this show is we are not scripted. We plan this as we go. So I guess the show itself should be a little bit more off the cuff then, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think it works well. And then, you know, when someone calls me out for my crutch words, I can say, hey, I'll work on it. You
know, yeah, I'll work on it.
I'll do better. Be better. Yeah.
That's the overall goal anyway.
Right. So Manjaro is working out then better for you?
Yeah, it's working out really well for me. The biggest downside was I didn't have time to fully get it set up before I headed to Utah. And so I didn't have Steam set up or anything like that. So my husband didn't have gaming while I was gone. I mean, he did get to go fishing and enjoy the sunshine on Saturday and hang out on the river with his buddy. But there were no games on our system up and running. The kids' system worked, and it has both of our Steam accounts, so you can just switch between the two if you were wanting to play something from there. But our system in general wasn't working at the time. But otherwise, I mean, it's just like home. I'm back on it. I still need to get my printer set up. And that was another kind of bug issue that I was running into with Ubuntu Studio, was that I had multiple printers that like automatically came in because I've got the three, but there was doubles of some. And so some would work and some wouldn't. And I couldn't remove the ones that didn't work. So I don't know. There is something to be said about manually adding the printers to the system instead of them just popping up on the system. A little bit of both. I would like to try it when the new LTS comes out and everything's fresh, kind of see where that's sitting. But for now, I am back where I feel most comfortable, where I have access to all the little things that I typically like to use. And DaVinci's running great again, so I don't know what the bug issue was before, why I couldn't get it up and running on Arch, why it just wouldn't boot, but somehow that seems to be fixed. I'm back in a happy home.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I think it's best when your home computer feels like a home, not like some stranger's, you know, apartment that smells like, you know, they just cook something, you know, and it's lingering in the air, you know, stuff like that.
But it was still plasma. So that part was nice. Like my day-to-day stuff where I could find stuff, that was all the same. I was still able to do that in plasma. And it is one of the reasons why I went with Ubuntu Studio, was because I knew I could still be in that plasma environment. It had to be that or Kubuntu. It had to be one of those. There are things that I now rely on that it seems like only plasma does. And one of those is being able to right-click on a window and move it. I absolutely love that. So it's down in the title bar. It's on a screen. It's somewhere else. Maybe it's this top monitor that's turned off. And I'm just like, oh, there you go. Move it and drag it to the screen that I want. I struggle to not have that. So I don't know. I think I'm a bit spoiled with plasma. I can't move off of it at this point.
I'm kind of in the same boat. If you like holding down meta and using the left and right mouse button to do different actions in the window, like to be able to resize just by, I think it's, the right mouse button and then pretty much anywhere near the corner, then you can resize whatever window or, you know, left click on it, just drag it from anywhere. Just little things like that that are, so when I use something else and I go to do that sort of action, and maybe it exists on other desktops, I just don't know how it's utilized.
Right.
But
the move I haven't seen on other desktops, to be able to move a window to just right click on it more, move it, is just so handy. And I haven't seen that on other ones. And I'm sure there are little cool things that I'm missing for GNOME, LXQT. I almost said
Ubuntu.
Yes. Let's see what some of the other ones that are out there.
Well, you have Unity, you got the Pantheon, and then there's Budgie, Mate, which I think Mate is kind of, I think it may have stalled for recently. So as far as like not a whole lot of development. And then there's, of course, the venerable XFCE that everybody knows and loves. Now, I do kind of wonder, would that become WFCE when becomes Wayland? Because it's XFCE.
Right. Are they switching to Wayland, though?
They're all eventually going to.
I guess XFCE would still have to switch to Wayland, so it would make sense that it would be.
I just say XFCE. Just don't change.
Yeah, maybe they won't change their name, but the XFCE underlying Wayland structure will be the same. I don't know. They did go from LXDE to LXQT, so they could do a name switch. It has happened, or it's just forked to a different project, and the one just kind of slowly goes away and they don't use it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, no either. Who knows? I'm sure they get it figured out. It'll be fine.
Yeah. They'll figure it out. I mean, you're figuring out, you're having fun in the terminal trying to figure out how to disable devices in Wayland.
Yes, this is true. So I have been having some terminal fun, which I know this is Matt's favorite topic.
Yeah, he loves the terminal. That man hates the GUI.
I think the only topic so far he would have liked to have been about Manjaro. That'd have been
He would have enjoyed that one, but I think we got off a little bit in too much in the weeds on that one too. We have had quite a bit of CAD talk, 3D printing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is definitely a good show for Matt to be away. This is,
he'd be snoozing. Well, yeah. So I have this Lenovo, it's like P16S or something like that. It was purchased before I got to my employer. Now it was a computer that they set up for me, and since day one, it's really been problematic as far as like the inner little track point on it. Specifically, the track point doesn't work. So either like slams your cursor all the way up or down, and you go to side sort of. Yeah. So it's all kinds of crazy, and in Windows, I had to disable it, and it was just very annoying to use because every time you try and log into it initially, it like you have to wait until it stopped having its convulsions before you could do anything with it. And so it'd take a while, or I'd have to like kind of keep hitting tab until, but the login screen on Windows is not very keyboard only friendly at all.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's terrible. And so it was such a pain, and I ended up just not using it. And that's actually when I bought my framework, and then I ended up moving all my workload over the framework, and I stopped using that Lenovo. Then I installed OpenSUSE on there just because I thought I'd try it. I took out the Windows NVMe. I popped in a different one that I purchased out of my own pocket, so it didn't come out of any of the employer's funds. I think they would have cared, but I just it was a me project, not a work project. Linux runs a lot better. Like it's a lot less. Like it's really slow on Windows 11, and it's actually the same. It's a 13th generation. It's a 1360p. It's a really nice CPU. It's actually the same that I have in my framework, but it's like super slow. And in fact, the IT tech, he says, why is it so slow? It's brand new. I'm like, I don't know. So I put Linux on there. Runs great. So Windows 11, kind of a stink show, but OpenSUSE ran great on there with Plasma, of course, and I was running Wayland on there. And so you could disable things like a X input. There's a way to disable things, but Wayland doesn't have, from my understanding, X input, doesn't use it. So I was looking on for different ways you can actually disable devices. I want to see if I can disable the track point so I can isolate it down to that one thing. Can I do that successfully? So I did find a way of doing that. On cubicle8.com, I put a quick little thing of this is how you can find and disable input of whatever devices you want with this inhibit. Basically, it's an inhibit flag. So it's very easy to do. It's essentially, you just do like an echo command to a specific location, your sys devices platform, whatever. And you can inhibit whatever device that is. And also show how you can actually find the different devices by using just cat proc bus input devices. And then you pipe to more. So you can just do, one page at a time. And then you just find. And that right there will give you exactly what you need. And so you can just take that and then you put that on, in the command line, take the device string and then you say echo one and then inhibit basically that to that string to inhibited. And if that's set to one, then it works no problem. Like it shuts itself off. So it works no problem. You shut it off so then I can use my computer again. Then it works fine. And basically, I have to wait until a repair guy can come in and do that because, well, the Lenovo is not a framework, so I can't repair it. But anyway.
That's a bummer. Yeah, I'm sure you could, but where it's a work laptop and all of that stuff, they want it done by a certified tech or something, huh?
Well, I'm the IT manager, so I guess I can do whatever I want. But I would rather somebody else break it because it's in warranty than me trying fumble my way through, and it's something that's already been paid for anyway. So it's better to use that warranty, whatever, to fix it than my time, which should be doing something else anyway. So it would not be
And you definitely have enough projects on your plate that you don't need to add that one to it.
Exactly. So it's really neat that I can do this, and I'm very happy with learning just yet another thing. And yeah, it's good times. So yeah, it's just a little article. Now, this is how you do it. And if you're interested, you can check it out. Might be helpful.
It could be. I may reference it someday. Right now, I don't have a system that has that, but I do need to get a portable editing system sometime in the near future. And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. But with the busyness of robotics and stuff, sometimes I just need to take work with me to the build room And having a system that's portable and still has a graphics card in it is kind of on the top of my list right now in searching for. So if any of you have any good deals, and it doesn't have to be new, like I really don't need a new computer. I just need one that works. So yeah, I'm in the hunt for something like that, that I can edit on.
Yeah. And I think the nice thing for this too is, so tangentially related to that, if you do get a computer and there's just something screwy with the hardware, some piece of hardware in it,
right,
you can then, this is a way you can disable bits that are not working correctly. So your software can make it so your hardware is usable, I guess is really what it
comes
down to. Yes. Not necessarily something you want to do, but it's something that in case you have to do it, you know, to get you
into the I'm hoping I don't have to, but it's nice knowing that it is in the stack of knowledge on cubiclenate.com.
And will I use it again? I don't know. But
maybe.
I mean, there's already been a lot of people that have at least read through it because I got, you know, it gets.
Oh, wow.
You know, so somebody might find it useful. And then no one. So who knows? But I have a little video in there too of actually what it does, like how it misbehaves.
Oh, heck yeah. So if you've got a video, then that video will be in this video.
Yeah, it's just a video that's embedded in the
nice
in the article. So anyway, yeah. And so the other thing that I learned to do in the terminal is to get directory sizes. And you're probably like, well, what does that matter? Well, I have a box basically. It was a vCenter that has been misbehaving. And so I had to go in there and pull some logs out. So I got a command to run to compile a list of logs I could send off to VMware. But it didn't work because it ran out of space. So I'm like, well, where is all the space taken up on this partition? So I went through and using the command du and then a little bit of extra bits after it, I was able to figure out a way to essentially find where all the data is being chopped up. So I was able to dig through the file system doing, and it's basically like one directory depth at a time, see which one is got all the space in there. And I was able to find just a lot of just old cruft, clear all that out, run the command so I could pull those logs and send them to VMware. So I basically had to clear off like 3 gig worth of stuff. Anyway, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, just a little thing, but I didn't have like the tools that I could use, you know, some of the cooler tools.
Yeah.
To, like, show you the disk where disk space is being utilized is a very basic tool that exists in all the Linux-i or Unix-y, whatever you want to call it. And so it's there. So if you want to use that to find a thing because you have a very limited, you know, stripped down system to the bare minimum, this is a way you can dig around in the terminal to find what you need to find. And maybe there are better ways, but I know at least du is going to be there. And there's actually has a lot of functionality du. So this is just one of the many functions that, you know, is very useful.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had need for that either, but if I do, I know where to find it.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes there's just one of those moments when it's like, you know, I need a thing to do a thing, and here's the thing I need it to do.
Right? Yep. Yes, exactly. And it's so awesome to have those tools available at hand to solve those problems. Yep.
And this way, if I forget how to do that, or if I, you know, I can't remember, like, oh, that's right, I wrote an article on that, and I can search cubiclenate.com, and, you know.
It's kind of like your public notebook.
It's exactly what it is. In fact, I started just so that I had a place to put my notes and I could access it from anywhere. That's the only reason I actually did it. And then it just kind of like morphed and evolved into something that I didn't intend, but here we are.
It works. It works. It sounds like there are other people getting information out of it. So that's awesome. I love it when you put on projects that you've been working on too. I know you're talking about doing one for your lights and your rework for your lights. I don't know if that one got up or not.
No, it's not done. I'm kind of a bum.
It happens. And now the push is a little bit over because that season is over. We're putting the lights away, except for yours don't actually come down. You end up using them all year round for different holidays and such, but definitely good information.
I have actually a pretty extensive shell of things. I just don't have it It's just that it doesn't quite have the, it's just not, it's not in a state where I feel like it's complete.
It's ready and to go out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's some like, of that comes with the additions that you add to it, the pictures of the screenshots and stuff, just getting all of that gathered. I am someone who would love to write, but my ADHD gets in the way.
Right.
And I mean, it's even like, do I write it out in a message, whether it's on the computer or on my phone, or do I just speak it? And half the time, if I have a lot that's going to say, you're going to get a voice message instead of a text message or an email from me, because it's faster and I could do it while I'm doing other things. Right. So.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes total sense. Yeah, I write things out because I write things out anyway. It's just a matter of taking whatever I write out and turning it into something that somebody other outside people of can me read. Can actually well, comprehend.
The thing is, I scribble all the time. I was on a call with Michael today, and these are my notes. Like I'm just scribbling stuff out onto a piece of paper at times, and it actually helps me recall. It's not real notes. Like nobody could pick that up and have any clue what in the world that we were talking about. But
right,
it works. Yeah,
yeah. That's a thing. And then the other thing too, I need is to refer back to my notes. So yes. I do that quite a bit. And that's the other reason why I really have it, because, you know,
see, that's where your system is better, because then my piece of paper that looks like this gets thrown away and I don't have it anymore. And I'm like, crap, I know I wrote that down on a corner of a piece of paper somewhere. Mm-hmm. And in cleaning up, because I got tired of the clutter on the desk, I threw that piece of paper away and now I no longer have it. Your system is way better.
Yeah, but mine does actually cost me. So
well, there is that. I mean, you could say mine costs me too, because I can't find the piece of information because it's now in the garbage. Yeah.
So mine costs me on the front end, yours costs you on the back end, I guess.
Right. That's, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I have a bunch of other things I've been working on too in relation to that. So this is totally an aside, but like I've been working on now for about 3 months, a video of like kind of a review from my perspective of the framework. And I'm on the fourth rewrite of it. I actually even recorded it. And I'm like, and as I'm editing it, I'm like, wow, this is boring the crap out of me. I don't even want to do this. And so I'm like, well, then obviously, oh, no. Obviously then this video is already, you know, failure to launch. So I completely rewrote it from the perspective of, like, you could go and find the specs of the framework and get like the benchmarks and all this stuff from somebody who actually does that well. So my perspective is going to be, how well does it do the things I need it to do? And then where do I think it shines? And where do I think it needs a little, you know, a little more polish? And, and so those are just, that's the perspective I took on it. And I'm almost done with that rewrite. And then I'll record it and then we'll go from there.
Then publish it, all of that fun stuff. But I mean, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. And you're right. Like some people want to hear the specs, but really if they want to know the specs, they can go to the website and look them up.
Right. They're not going to care about the, you know, this schmuck here to say the anything that they're going to learn something from.
Well, I mean, they care, but they're coming for your opinion on it, not necessarily what the hardware is. Yeah.
So I'll probably like have the hardware like scroll past quickly and then have a link in the show notes, you know, whatever in the description. But
yeah, then, absolutely.
And then the other thing too is I'm working on also an immediate follow-up video that's going to be in relation to is how I put together 6 screens on that the framework powers. So my 6 screen semi-portable setup. And I think that those all be on cubiclenate.com anyway. So I just find that if I do things from the writing perspective first and not try and wing it, I do way better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get my thoughts compiled, you know, written out. So I'm probably slow and I'll never be.
You won't be turning out a whole lot of articles in a week or in a month or anything like that, but it's stuff that matters to you and things that you're particularly working on in your day. So that's some of the things that I don't necessarily enjoy when I'm like, hey, I've got this problem and I'm going to search for a solution, is if you are on some of those websites where like they're just putting out articles I know you update yours sometimes on other sites. They haven't been updated, so the information is really old. It doesn't work anymore. Or I don't think they actually ever went through and did the solution that they're talking about, because it makes no sense. And what I see and what they're telling me to do doesn't match up. It could be me. It could also be me.
Or they have some tribal bits of knowledge that they didn't actually put down because they think that everybody knows that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I don't know it. Yes, I don't want to be talked down to like I'm stupid, but at the same time, don't assume that I know everything either. You can tell me these little tidbits without talking down to me at the same time. Right. Just say it. Yeah.
Yep. Well, so just in case you don't know how to do this.
Right. You know, exactly.
It's all in the preamble, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anyway, Cubicle Native is dumbed down to my level. That's kind of how I do it. And so like I'm talking to myself. So if I sound a little condescending, I'm actually really talking to myself condescendingly.
I don't think I have read anything on your website that remotely sounded condescending.
What? Okay. Well, maybe it's just the way I'm reading it.
Maybe this is the way you're reading it to yourself. Yes.
Okay. It's all in my tone to me.
Yeah. I know I've read messages from people and I'm reading it in this different voice that maybe they're not actually coming from. See, that's another reason why I prefer like voice messages sometimes over text messages, because I'm like, I could write this down and it could sound really bad, or I could just say it and have it be in a tone that's not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that, or you know, whatever. Because the tone can be read in so differently. So you may as read it as though you're talking snarky to yourself, but that's not what I get when I'm reading it.
Yeah. Sometimes when I read it, it says, well, that sounds snarky. I'll just put a smiley face emoji. You know, there we go. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
Don't use thumbs up, because apparently all thumbs up is passive aggressive now, and I like thumbs up. I know.
I didn't realize that was passive aggressive. I mean, that's we use it all the time. We were actually using it recently at the one school we were at. We were working with some kids that were different stages of hearing. None of them were completely deaf, but some of them had more hearing to less hearing. And that was one way that we knew that they were ready to go. You give the thumbs up. Yep. We're at that page. We're at that stage. And so it was kind of a universal symbol of, hey, we're ready for the next step. So I didn't realize that that was supposed to be a bad thing now.
Yeah, someone told me it was passive aggressive and I should be careful to use that. So I sent them a GIF of like, it's a super long GIF of like different people giving thumbs ups, you know, like, anyway, because like a series of characters.
That was passive aggressive.
maybe more aggressive aggressive.
Though, to be fair, I love the memes that you send me. And the one that you recently sent me was actually a short video. One of those that you recently sent me, I laughed so hard at. And I passed it along to my dad, my brother, and my husband. They got a kick out of it. So keep them coming.
Yep. No problem. Anything that kind of brightens my day, I try and share it along.
Share along. Yep. Pass it along. I actually think I have a few things my husband has sent me that I should send your way. Most of them are Lord of the Rings related. On that topic, my daughter just recently made a Lord of the Rings shirt.
Oh.
It's a graphic she actually found somewhere else, but it's really cool. So it's got Sauron's tower. Mm-hmm. And there's a cat standing behind it. So the eye coming through the tower is actually the cat eye.
That's actually fitting. It kind of just looks like
very fitting, right? Yes. Yeah. Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, you know, like goats have eyes that are like the opposite, like they're horizontal instead of vertical, like a cat.
Right.
Like
yes. They still have the slit, but it's a different direction.
And it's really
goats
creepy.
Goats are weird creatures anyway. Yeah. Like I've been around goats for quite a while.
Since I was a kid.
Yes, goats will eat anything, and they're just, they're very interesting creatures.
Yeah. I would never do yoga with a goat, just saying.
No, I've seen videos of that, and I'm like, why? Like, why would you want to? If I wanted to have that happen, I would have done yoga with little kids, because it would have been the same experience, right?
Right, except toddlers no hooves like to climb to dig into your back or anything.
No, but there's elbows and knees and stuff. My youngest is how old is he? 9. And that kid still elbows the crap out of me. And I've told him that I've been elbowed more since he was born than when I was pregnant with him.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Well, on that. So now it's your turn to toss in your 2 cents on today's topics. Hit the discourse form, drop us a line under the video or on the contact form by visiting tuxdigital.com/contact. If you'd like to hang out with us on our preferred social media, see the links at the bottom of the show description. Find other great shows like Fit and Fuel, Destination Linux, Linux Saloon, and more at tuxdigital.com. Show off your love for your favorite podcasts and shows by visiting Tux Digital Merch Store. Grab yourself some awesome swag like the Gamercentric I Paused My Game to Be Here shirt, or join hashtag Game Wendy. Game Wendy? Hashtag Team Wendy with some Sinister Wendy swag. Game?
I don't know. I've had all kinds of words like that today, but so it's just part of the show.
It's like a log jam. Am I
yeah,
a log jam? So as always, we thank you for joining us. We'll be back next time with another awesome sode of Linux Out Loud. Until then, keep the banter friendly, the conversation somewhat on topic, and have fun doing it.